Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, May 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading on page 83 in the Big Book, the second paragraph. It starts with, "The spiritual life is not a theory," and it ends with, "20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone." Just that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Nancy C., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text are Eileen M., Rebecca R., and Jordan L. Our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and the announcements person is Betsy H. The share ID for yesterday, May 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 20,282. That's 20282. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, May 23rd, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,284. That's 20284. The Way Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. And our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Nancy C. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Nancy. Can't hear you, Nancy. Press star one. Star one, Nancy. Are you having trouble? Jordan L., are you available to read the 12 steps?
Yeah, Mo, can you hear me?
I can. Thank you very much for stepping in. She must be having trouble.
Oh, yeah, sure. No problem. Let me grab my book and open her up. And luckily, my book is literally falling apart at that page. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Excuse me. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
And thank you, Jordan L., very much. Yes, she was having trouble unmuting. So I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Mo.
Good morning, Mary.
Yeah. Good morning. This is Mary P. from Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 83. Second paragraph down begins with, the spiritual life is not a theory, ending with 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic of anyone. And I will now ask Eileen M. to get us started. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Mo. This is Eileen M., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire, not cured. Okay, the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. Unless one's family expresses a desire to live upon spiritual principles, we think we ought not to urge them. We should not talk incessantly to them about spiritual matters. They will change in time. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. We must remember that 10 or 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. Wow, that's think that I'm looking at that line, our behavior will convince them more than our words. Really important line in that paragraph. You know, I was thinking about in my inventory, what was revealed to me was that my mind makes up stories about other people, you know, in my interactions with others. And then I react to the stories. And what happens is that other people retaliate, right? I mean, I actually really believe that other people were not affected by me and my behavior. I believed that for a long time until I picked up this book and started reading it and, you know, started working the steps. And my inventory revealed that, yes, other people are affected by my behavior and my thinking. And, you know, here's the thing is, you know, we're not talking really about step 10 yet, but we're going to be talking about it in a few paragraphs. And, you know, the more I stay in those stories, the more I'm disturbed. So, you know, the step 10 practice, you know, kind of gets me to the bottom of those stories. And in step 10 and 11, you know, I'm choosing on a daily basis to be connected to a higher power, really, and to, you know, take my individual defects to my higher power. I mean, that's the only way that I can be changed. And when I look at this paragraph, I think, you know, actions speak louder than words. I mean, I can talk all I want about how I'm changing, but if I don't demonstrate, you know, the changes, you know, then it's really not, you know, people are not going to believe it, you know. I keep thinking about, you know, that line on the first sentence of this page. It says there's a long period of reconstruction ahead. You know, we have to keep doing this. Because, you know, like I said, I'm not cured. I'll never be cured. You know, I'm human and my life gets unmanageable. And I have to, you know, continue working the steps to address the unmanageability. So that's what I've got. And thanks so much.
Oh, thank you very much, Eileen, for getting us started. I'll just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 83, the second paragraph down. It begins with the spiritual life is not a theory. And it ends with 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please wait until tomorrow. Who would like to share?
Justin B. Washington.
Justin B. Press star one to unmute. Liz A. Liz A.
Amy C.
Amy C. Anyone else? Come on, don't be shy. If you haven't ever shared, now's your opportunity.
Yvonne A.
Yvonne
Arlene
A.
B.
Arlene B. Okay. Yvonne A, I think it was. Okay, here's who I have. We'll go with this group. Justin B., Liz A., Amy C., Yvonne, I think it's A, Yvonne, I can't remember, and Arlene B. Just tell us the state you are from when you announce yourself. Okay, everybody mute except Justin B. Good morning, Justin.
All right, good morning. I'm Justin B. from the state of Washington, gratefully living in the state of recovery. What a miracle that is. The line that really kicked me in the teeth from this paragraph is one that I'm having some current experience with. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. The words, I'm sorry, are empty in my life now. I've said them so many times and gone back on them. My actions following the words I'm sorry have demonstrated that I'm not sorry. And so they've lost power, especially in the relationships that are most meaningful to me. I just have to almost eliminate that phrase from my vocabulary and maybe replace it with something like, you know what, I was wrong and this is what I'm going to do today to, you know, make things right. And followed up with specific action. I think that's a vital part of my own recovery, of showing, of living my recovery in my most important relationships. And that's a painful thing to admit or to live, because saying I'm sorry, as heartfelt as they are, as heartfelt as those words are, like I said, they've become empty in the ears of those I love most. They eye rolls happen, here we go again happen, and those types of things, and it's painful. And I just have to follow things up with right action. I have to change my behavior so that it's more convincing, because it's more real. Anyways, I think that's what I've got. I'm Justin. I'll pass. Thanks.
And thank you, Justin, for your share. Next up is Liz A., followed by Amy C. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. This is Liz A. from California. What popped out for me was the spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it, in italics, which we know costs more. So Bill was emphasizing that. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. In past inventories that I've done, I've made amends with words, and yet the behaviors didn't change. And the relationships didn't change. And it wasn't until I actually stopped saying anything and started acting differently that the relationships started to change. And I think earlier in the big book, it says that we judged ourselves by our intentions, but the world was judging us by our actions. And also what comes to mind is the third step prayer, when we say, remove our difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help. So, you know, it's, we bear witness for others to see. We change the behavior. And it's hard because, I mean, some of my behaviors are knee-jerk reactions, you know, and it's so difficult to change them. But when I do my 11th step at night and I look at what I could have done better, I can see, oh my, I reacted that way. And I make it a point the next morning when I say my prayers to specifically point out that defect of character and ask that it be removed and act accordingly. So that's what I got out of this, and thank you for everyone who's doing service today, and I pass. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Liz A. from California. Amy C., followed by Yvonne A. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
I can.
Great. Good morning, everyone. I'm glad to be here with you, and I was really just listening to the words and thinking about the power of attraction and how each time I have so many friends and family members that, well, we're not supposed to diagnose others, really seem in the disease of compulsive overeating. And at all of our family events, people are up and down. We're a family of yo-yoers and then a few that are obese. And you just see this when we only see each other a couple times a year, that so many people are suffering with this disease. And I've tried a couple times to talk to people, and it's, you know, kind of backfired along the lines of page 60 to 63. And I really am just sitting with the words about our behaviors. And I've struggled so much with relapse, but I've also had a lot of recovery, and more recovery, obviously, than I ever would have had if I hadn't found this amazing program that works. And what's really sitting with me today is if I can keep my recovery and continue to just be at family events where I'm not eating and drinking things that people are eating and drinking, and my weight is staying at a constant weight, people already can see the change in my behavior. And just over time, the power of attraction will help all these various people that I love. So that's what's really sticking with me today, is that people need to find this when they're ready. But when they're ready, if they see that I have something that they want, just like I see the people with long-term recovery in the program have what I want, then they'll be able to come to the solution. So anyway, that's all I've got, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very much. That's Amy C. from California. Up next is Yvonne A., and then followed by Arlene B., and then I'll take more names after that. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. It's Yvonne A. from BC, Canada. And I just had to share on this passage this morning because it was so much my home situation. I started into this program, and obviously it's a spiritual way of living. But I had that incessant need to talk about it at the beginning. And that was really uncomfortable for my husband, who does not share the same ways of thinking. And I learned pretty quickly that that was just not serving me at all. And so I took a step back. If this was, you know, my problem, he's not a compulsive overeater, I am. But it's been just really an amazing transformation in him too, as he has watched me go through this. So he doesn't approach it in the same way that I do, but both of our lives have changed as a result of me being in this program, of me getting recovered and putting down the food. And I was the kind of person who never said sorry for anything. I would mull it over in my head. Oh, I should say I'm sorry. No, I'm going to look weak if I say, oh, but he did this. There was always 100 excuses. And then I'd say, okay, when we go to bed, I'll say sorry then. And of course, I never did. And the next morning I'd get up and it was forgotten. Now I'm very quick to apologize and to mean it and to do my very best not to do those behaviors again. And of course, there are certain ones that come up more than once, but I do honestly mean it. He sees it in my actions. And so I am living this lifestyle. It is a design for living. It creates miracles. It changes lives. And I'm just so blessed to have been introduced to it. So thank you. That's all I have today.
And thank you, Yvonne A. Before I take Arlene B., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 83, the second paragraph down. It starts with, the spiritual life is not a theory, and it ends with 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. So after Arlene, I will open the line up for more people to share. Good morning, Arlene.
Good morning. This is Arlene from California, grateful to be here, feeling grateful, even though there have been some events in my life that have been difficult, but feeling very grateful to be part of this wonderful program. Something that our first speaker shared about caught my attention, something about 10th steps. And, you know, I have these feelings that come up, and then I think these resentments, and then I think, Oh, I don't have to deal with them. I haven't dealt with them with my sponsor, but I feel like maybe, you know, I need to. Maybe it would be helpful. Maybe bearing it is not good for me if I'm with somebody who really, you know, it's like I want the worst thing to happen to them. And like, well, maybe there's a resentment in there someplace. You know, I don't want him to be here. Or even a good friend who just totally bothers me. And even though I can see that there's a lot of goodness in her, I think it's important for me to do that. It's like, I don't want to go through this whole process of, you know, where, what, you know, what part is me and blah, 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 but you know, take out all my papers. And yet it's not a big deal, but it sometimes I think feels like a big deal. And so I think it's important for me to do those 10 steps, perhaps, because I will do them because, yeah, I mean, I've looked for spiritual life all of my life. I've looked for it. And I just, you know, I do whatever I can. I mean, I'm working the program more than ever and making the outreach calls and working with others and calling my sponsor and going to meetings and praying and reading, and I'm also a relapsed person. I've been in this program probably more years than most of you people have been alive, but been in this program many, many years. But you know what? I never gave up. If anybody who's having relapse issues, don't go away. Keep coming back. The gifts are immense. You know, I haven't always, and I'm still not now the weight that I want to be, but I'm working towards it. And this program has probably taken me out of the depths of a life that would have been depression. So I'm grateful to be here, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene B. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on either Friday or Monday, please wait until tomorrow. And who would like to take a stab at this paragraph?
Janice K.
Janice K.
Patty B.
Patty D.
Patricia P.
Patricia P. Oh, you're being so nice to me this morning. Anyone else? Now's your time. Press star one.
Terry D.
Terry D. Thank you, Terry.
Terry D, yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. I've got Janice K., Patty D., Patricia P., and Terry D. And if no one else is, we'll just go with those four for now. Please give us the name of your state when you speak. First person is Janice K. Good morning, Janice.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. yes, this is the first line, really, the first couple of lines. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And we have been exploring what a spiritual life is. Spiritual life, according to Dr. Bob, is trust God, steps 1, 2, and 3, clean house, 4 through 9, help others. Well, that's not just 12. 10, 11, and 12 are the powerhouse of the program. First point to make, I think, is that change of behavior, our behavior will convince them more than our words. And I tried year upon year upon year to change my behavior. It turns out I can't, because a lot of these defects are just simply too deep and I can't reach them. The removal of the defect is not entirely up to me. I have to come up with the willingness. The removal of the defect is up to my higher power. How do I let my higher power be of influence? I really appreciate the program slogan, pause, pray, proceed. Just finding and creating a habit of stopping before I act and saying, okay, what do we do next? It's the change of actions, the change of behavior that will convince them, which is the action of our higher power on our deeper selves. The spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. I have to stay in contact. I have to pause, pray, proceed. I don't get to just charge through life doing what I want anymore. I am child, actor, agent. I have to behave differently, and I can't bring about those changes in myself. I have to trust my higher power to help me show the way. This is the introduction to step 10. Our behavior will convince them more than our words. So thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice Kay from Oregon. Up next is Patty D, followed by Patricia P. Let us know where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Patty D, calling from Wisconsin. I have not been on the line for ages. I was AWOL, away without leave. This is day two of my abstinence after a long relapse. And I really appreciated what the first gentleman said who shared. His name has already slipped out of my mind. But when he talked about saying sorry just doesn't cut it anymore. And what they talked about in the paragraph today about how our actions will speak so much louder. I read once somewhere that saying sorry isn't enough. Sometimes you actually have to change. And I have found that with my husband, because now when I start again with abstinence, it'll come up sometimes where we'll be grocery shopping or something, and he'll say, "Do you want this?" I'll be, "No, I'm starting again." And that's all I'll say, because I know he's heard it all before, and he's seen it all fail before. And I just feel kind of ashamed, you know? It's like, you know, how many times have I said, "Yeah, I'm going back on OA, and I'm listening to my meetings again, yeah, and I'm calling my sponsor," and then I relapse again. So I think for me, it's more the spiritual aspect of it. And in my prayers, it's like, "Lord, I'm willing. Help me be willing." Because I know the big book says that you just have to be willing. Sometimes that's all you have. And the Lord will do the rest. So I just appreciate all the shares and the humanness and the vulnerability that everyone has. And so I'm back. So thanks, everyone. Have a good day. And I pass.
Thank you, Patty, and welcome back. And stay on the line. Introduce yourself as a newcomer. Patty D. from Wisconsin. Patricia P., you're up next, followed by Terry D. And after Terry, I'll take more names. Good morning, Patricia.
Yes, this is Patricia P. from Michigan. Letting you know that I thank you for your service, everybody that's here. So the spiritual thing is not a theory. I'm in a relapse right now, and not sure when I'll get my recovery back, but it's good to be at home. I know I'll be getting there with the help of everybody in these meetings. Thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Patricia P., and just please keep coming back. Up next is Terry D., but before we take Terry D., I will remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 83, the second paragraph down. The spiritual life is not a theory. And it ends with 20 years of drunkenness would make a skeptic out of anyone. And good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry D. from Virginia. Gratefully recovered for today only. Thank you so much for all the beautiful shares. Yes, I was very moved by the paragraph and by the shares of action speaks louder than words. Years ago, my niece, she's now almost 40, but she was young, a little old soul. She could have been maybe even five years old, maybe younger. And I was in the program at the time, but supposedly I was abstinent. I say supposedly abstinent without spirituality. And I would make promises to my little girl, to my sister's little girl, that I helped raise her. And I wouldn't follow through 50%, 70% of the time. And she was just so frustrated with me. And finally she said, "Action, Terry, action speaks louder than words." And it just hit me between the eyes that how selfish, self-centered, self-seeking I truly am. And it brought me back to, it took me years. I left OA and lost abstinence, and it took me years to return, but that really helped me. She helped me to see that I needed great help with my lack of commitment with others, lack of solidarity with my own promises, lack of connection with the higher power, with my divine beloved. And I'm so grateful that I am here and that there is a beautiful program. There's this beautiful 12-step practice that we all get to do, and it's not a dance. I mean, it is a flow. It is a beautiful dance, but it is a spiritual dance that takes daily practice for me to really continue to grow spiritually. And of course, I fall down and I get up, I fall down and I get up, but it's never too late to get up holding God's hand. And I see that today. Jen gave me, my niece gave me the gift of honesty through out of the mouths of babes. And I have a very different relationship with her today. It's an honest, close relationship. But I try my very best to follow through with my plans. If I make a promise, I really try to keep it. And I try to do that with each and every person. I fall short many times, but it is much improved in that area of commitment to self, to God, to others, and not past.
And thank you very much, Terry D. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please wait until tomorrow. And I will now open the line up. We can probably take about 3, maybe 4 more shares. Who would like to share? Star 1 to
Elaine
unmute.
S., California.
Elaine S.
Yes.
Debbie P., Indiana.
Debbie G.
P.
Indiana. P. Thank you. Sorry,
P.
Debbie.
No P. worries.
Any else? Anybody else? Okay,
Jordan
I'll go with
L.
those two. Oh, who was that?
Jordan L.
Oh, Jordan. Okay.
Sorry, do okay, I sound okay?
Yeah, you do. I just was talking over you. Elaine S., Debbie P., Jordan L. Okay, Elaine, you're up first, followed by Debbie P. Good morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Mo. It's wonderful to be here with everybody this morning, and I'm just getting over the stomach flu. I'm Elaine. coming out of
where are you from, Elaine?
I'm from California, Santa Barbara, California, and I'm coming out of a very short relapse, but nevertheless a relapse. And this spiritual life is not for. Is not a theory. It's really what it's all about for me, because my problem is making other people my God, and it's so subtle because I know so much and I'm so good in so many ways, but I don't always want to be completely honest with my sponsor. So what is that about? And it's pride, and it's perfectionism, and it's fear. And what I have to do is that complete honesty, not only about my food, but if I'm told to make 3 outreach calls to recovered people, and I've made 2 outreach calls to recovered people and 5 outreach calls to unrecovered people, I can't say I've made 3 calls to recovered people. And that might sound so silly because look at all the work I did. But it's not honest. What I have to have that complete honesty if I want to not only become recovered but stay recovered. And that is trusting God. It's when I don't make other people my God and just totally trust God. And I'm so grateful to be learning this. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Elaine S. from California. Up next is Debbie P., followed by Jordan L. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone on the line today. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Indiana. I really wasn't going to share today, but something kept going through my mind. So here's what I'm thinking about this this paragraph. I'm staring at, we have to live it. And next to it, I have written hope. I know hope has been very important for me in this program to move forward because my disease, the way that I talk to myself is not kind. But what I really want to talk about today is how, let's see, our behavior will convince them more than our words. I am remembering with my husband that I get so frustrated while I'm in the food that he just doesn't understand that I love him. Doesn't he see all that I do for him? Doesn't he understand? And it's like, you know, that's my will wanting to convince him that I'm right, that I love him, that he needs to change to see what I mean. The fact of the matter is my actions don't meet my words. Now, I did love him. I still do love him. But my actions, I heard earlier, just, you know, they were just off the cuff, you know, whatever I felt like doing or saying at the time, I would. And so it was the opposite of love, actually. If I am, you know, not treating him kindly because I don't feel good about myself, then of course he's going to feel like, I don't love him and my actions are not meeting my words. And after being recovered now, I can, well, I cannot say things today. That's a miracle right there. That's a God thing. And number two, the things that I do say are well thought. They're meditated upon and discussed with my sponsor or a recovered person in the program that I trust before I would say anything to him, just to make sure that I don't cause any more reasons to have to change more behaviors. My apologies, my I'm sorries just fall on deaf ears anymore because I've said it so much. And, you know, I don't even believe it anymore. So when I'm willing to change, that's when I know my higher power has me. That's when I continue with the hope and I move forward. So that's what I wanted to share. And thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Debbie P. in Indiana. And up next, we'll have Jordan L. And we may have time for maybe a 1 or 2 minute after Jordan. Good morning, Jordan.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thank you for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado, but in Massachusetts this morning. I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I was a tornado. If I'm being honest, I can still be a tornado. I'm getting much more diligent about practicing this program on a daily basis. But to be completely and totally honest, like, I think it probably took me like 10 years of practicing this program before I got to a point where I really had an honest desire to do more than just not compulsively overeat. Where I really had an honest desire to try to, like, live differently. and that's all good. Like, I think what is most important about this program after practicing it for a while, and keep in mind, I may have a different answer in like 10 or 20 years from now. I don't know. God willing, I'm still practicing at that point in time. But I think that perseverance is the most important piece of all of this. I think that that's how we live it, you know, is by continuing to like come back to a center where it's like me and it's me, God, and the other people in my life, you know? And how is it that I'm like living from that place or living from that center? It's taken me a really long time to get to the point where I can keep my mouth, where I can just like keep my mouth closed and I can act. I can demonstrate instead of talking at people about what it is that they should be doing instead. And I don't know. I think that what's really great about this is if you're not actually willing to practice all 12 steps, you know, when you first come into this program and you're not willing to practice all 12 steps, and you kind of like get into some pain as a result of that, you can keep coming back over and over and over again until you do get to a point where you're willing to practice all 12 steps. So I'm very grateful that you guys have been here and accepted me back every single time. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. We have time for about a 2-minute share if somebody would like to take that.
Larry G.
Oh, good morning, Larry. Yes, please do.
Good morning, Mo. Larry G from California. Well, Bill warns us here, doesn't he? It's a long road, 10, 20 years or more. And just because I'm recovered really means nothing. It just means nothing. I start my day over again. I attend a conference. I just really adore this woman, and she's in our program. 40 years, Rosalie, 40 years, and as a speaker. And she said that her 40 years really has very little meaning unless she's showing up as a recovered person today. And I'll never forget that, because this is the person who I have great respect for, has 40 years, but she said that it means nothing unless I show up today as a recovered person. To me, the addict, it's like throws a grenade, whether it's in the middle of a family, whether we're compulsive eaters, alcoholics, sex addicts, it doesn't really matter. Addiction is addiction. It's like taking a grenade and we just blow stuff up. I blew stuff up. I hurt the people I love the most. And especially my children, you know, there's collateral damage there being a child in the life of a compulsive eater, recovered alcoholic, that lasts for a lifetime. The damage lasts for a lifetime. And my daughter, I've talked about this before, 12 years in AA, you know, she's going to therapy and I pay for part of it. I feel like I want to make that contribution. So one of the things that I have to be really careful for, just because I'm recovered, I have to keep my magnifying eyes off other people in the family and expect them now to treat me differently or to show up differently. That's why I don't like the six-man prayer. I don't like the six-man prayer because when I say the six-man prayer, I'm diagnosing somebody else. I'm the person sick. My perception is sick. My behavior is sick, and without God, I'm nothing. And like someone else said in this line, I can't change my behavior, my character defects. I'd never be able to manufacture anything on my own. I've got to go to God to do that. In my family of origin, with my wife, I do the very best I can. I'm a big believer in the 10 steps. I do a lot of 10 steps. And the people I hurt the most are usually the people I love, and I have to clean that up today. And expect nothing from them. Expect nothing from them. And I pass. Thank you for your service, Mo. Have a great day.
Yeah, thank you very much, Larry, for closing us out. Thank you very much, everyone, for your shares. And please remember, if you're a newcomer, stay on the line. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask Becca R. to read A Vision for You. Good morning, Becca.
Hi, guys. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God if you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and we will surely meet some of us as you tread the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.